of people all over this country that love to have fun with teenagers. But you have something very special in this team here, because they know how to have a great time. They know how to relate to you. They have gone and dug a mud pit, from what I hear. They have done everything that they can think of to make sure that you have fun. But I want to tell you what's more important than that, is that they have spent weeks praying and preparing and asking the Lord what He would want to speak to you. And so as I was praying for you today, what the Lord kept saying to me was, we are standing on holy ground. And we're standing on holy ground because He has invited you here. And you are extremely important to Him. And I want you to know how I know that. I know that because I'm old. And because I have never seen a generation of young people under a greater attack than you are. Yeah. And it is coming at you from every direction, every day, all day long. And so something that I'm going to need you to start to appreciate are moments like this, where we can push back the darkness and we can say, we're going to set a stage and an atmosphere where you can come and you can hear it. And so tonight, we're going to talk about, first of all, what is it, and who's saying it, and where do I have to be to hear it? And something that, as we begin tonight, I'm just going to say a prayer for us, because as we begin, I want to start by saying, I don't ever want you to be afraid or shrink back or avoid any word or any topic that is in this book. There is nothing in here that is for your harm. But every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is beneficial to you. And it is for your equipping. And it is a gift for you to receive. Why would anybody not receive a gift from a good God being presented to you? And the way that I was raised, particularly what we're going to talk about tonight, we were scared to death of it. And what was so scary about it is we thought if we kind of stepped into that, it might embarrass me. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You got a real enemy, and he's after you, and we're done being worried about being embarrassed. We're way past that. Now, I believe that you are the generation that changes the world. I believe that you are the generation that changes the world. I believe that there is greatness that the Lord has placed on the inside of you. And that each one of you, not you, but each one of you, God has called you to do incredible things. And He has prepared them in advance. And He has given His angels charge over you. And He has given you every weapon that you need to be who He's called you to be. But you're going to have to start learning how to use them. And so tonight, we're going to talk about, we're going to focus on the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, something that we do often to you guys is we spend a lot of time talking to you about staying in your lane, right? Like, don't drink. That's getting over here in this other lane. That's like the rough. We don't want to be over there. Don't have sex. Don't be ugly and disrespectful to your parents. Don't lie. Don't steal. Stay in your lane. Don't. But what I love about Exchange Fest is that we're not talking about how we don't want you to be, because I'm ready to be done with that too. I want you to learn how to run the dang race and get to run. Okay, so it is important the most important thing, the only thing regarding our relationship with God is finding a way to get into His presence. Because none of it depends on you. Not any part of it depends on you, but all of it depends on, can you find your way just to be with Him? Because when you get with Him, everything changes. So when we get in the presence of God, He changes our perspective. We see things completely differently. He changes our passion. And He changes the degree of our power. So we need to learn how to find the presence of God. And if we're going to do that, let's think about some people in the Bible who were good at it. Who was good at finding and experiencing and living in the presence of God? Well, some of the ones that I made note of is Moses. Moses was called the friend of God. Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, out of captivity, and he was leading them to the promised land. And they were in the wilderness, and Moses set up a tent, and he called it the tent of meeting, and it was outside the camp. And Moses would go there, and he would meet with God. And when Moses would go into the tent of the meeting to meet with God, the pillar of fire or the cloud would rest over that tent while he was in there, and all the people would kind of come out and look. And Moses would go in there, have his conversation with God, and he would come out. And the Bible says he would veil his face because his face would be so impacted because he had experienced the glory of God. So Moses understood the presence of God. But I'll tell you somebody that impresses me even more is Joshua. Joshua was next to lead after Moses. And what the Bible says about Joshua is he went into the tent and he didn't come out. He just sat in the presence of God. Paul experienced Jesus on the road to Damascus. Days before that, he's Saul. He's killing Christians all across the land. One encounter, one moment in the presence of Jesus, and everything changed. And then there was Samuel. Samuel's one of my favorites, and this is who I pray that you are like. Because Samuel loved and served the Lord every day of his life. Samuel's mom prayed for him, and then when he was born, she made a promise to the Lord that she would send him to be raised in the temple with the priest named Eli. So when he was about 3 or 4 years old, he went to live in the temple, and he always lived there. Well, there was a day where he had gone to bed. Now, let me tell you where he slept. He slept in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, does anybody know what the Ark of the Covenant represented? The presence of God. So little Samuel is sleeping in front of the presence of God. Now, have you ever been in a church sanctuary when nobody else was in there and the lights are off and it's just like the sanctuary? Like, I grew up in a little church, and oftentimes we were there when nobody was there. And if I had to go to the sanctuary, I made record time out of there because it was like I'm going to see the cherubim right there in just a minute, right? It was, can you imagine sleeping in front of the Ark of the Covenant? And one night when he lay down to go to sleep, he heard Samuel. And so he gets up and he runs to the priest and he says, hey, you call me? Eli says, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Goes back to bed, lays there. Samuel. Again, runs to Eli. Dude, like I'm trying to go to sleep. I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Third time, Samuel. Samuel runs to Eli, and Eli says, it must be the Lord. You need to go back and tell him that you're listening. So Samuel understood what it was like to hear from the Lord. And what I want you to know is, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you have also heard Him call your name. I know that I have heard Him call my name. I got saved when I was 5. I can remember that I was at home. My dad was reading a Bible story to me, and I just remember all of a sudden understanding completely that I had sinned and that I needed a Savior. And I accepted Jesus, and right after that, I got baptized, and I can remember that, and I believed that the Lord came in and lived inside me. And I got baptized, and I went to Sunday school, and I took my Bible so I could get a star beside my name every week, and I really wanted to know the Lord, but I was terrified of the Holy Spirit, because he was just a little bit weird. And it seemed like really, you know, people that talk about that, and we just really didn't know what to do with him, and not very much was even said about him. Well, I want to tell you what salvation is. Sin is anything that we do that separates us from the presence of God. Sin separates us from the presence of God. And what we've already said is, being in the presence of God is what changes everything. So when we sin, and we're separated from the presence of God, we cannot possibly hear him. And so that is the scheme of the enemy. If I can just get them to sin, they can't be in his presence anymore. They can't hear him. And then they're winging this thing, and I've got them. And so when we sin and we're separated from the presence of God, that's when we need a Savior. And what the Word tells us is that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when Jesus came and died for our sins and he paid the penalty for that, he did it so that you could be back in the presence of God. Ephesians 1:13 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the glory of God." So what this verse says is, when I understand that I've sinned and I'm separated from the presence of God, and then I accept Jesus and he comes in and he lives in my heart, what the Bible says is that the Holy Spirit comes into my heart as a deposit. So this water is going to represent the Holy Spirit. This jar is going to represent our heart. So the Holy Spirit comes into our heart. And then this scripture says that it's sealed. Okay, so my jar, my heart, is full of the Holy Spirit. And he comes in and he lives in my heart completely when I get saved and ask Jesus to be my Savior and come in and change me. And so I have the Holy Spirit when I get saved. And it's sealed. He's not going anywhere. The Bible even says when I accept Jesus, he's got me in his hand. And then God's got me in his hand, and nothing can take you out. So once you get saved, Jesus says, "I'm your Savior, I forgive you, you can now be in relationship with my Father." And here's the Holy Spirit to be your comforter, your guide, and your aid, and to teach you everything about who we are, and you can't lose him. And a lot of us get to this place. A lot of us accept Jesus, we're good, we got it now, done deal, right? And we really want to be good. The other thing that happens when we get saved is Jesus says, "Now I give you authority." Because when Jesus came and he died for our sins and he was buried and he was raised again, it says he was given all authority. So now he's given it to you. So when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit, you get salvation, and you're given authority. All right, I want to show you the next step. And this is where I was for a long time. I had accepted Jesus. I was just a little girl. I knew that Jesus lived in me as a deposit. And I knew that Jesus had given me authority. But let me tell you what Jesus said to those that followed him right after he was resurrected. He said in Matthew 28:18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And then he said in Acts 1:4, "Do not leave Jerusalem." So these people believed in Jesus. And he said, now I've given you authority, and I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I do not want you to leave there. I want you to wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized in water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. So Jesus is saying, I've given you salvation, I've given you authority, and now I want you to receive power. So I have a demonstration here. I would like for Baron to come up. Baron's going to come up, and Maddie's going to come up, and y'all might need to come back this way. Baron, you can probably jump right up. But I want you to understand that this, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to get into a little bit deeper here in just a minute, but this is something that a lot of people are afraid of. It kind of seems hard to understand, but what I want you to know is that it isn't. It's us that makes it seem kind of spooky, weird, and maybe we can't understand it, but we can understand it. So here we have Baron. Baron, have you accepted Jesus into your heart? Absolutely. You know him as your Savior, so you have the Holy Spirit. So what my Bible tells me is that he has given you salvation, he's given you his Spirit, and he's given you authority. And you've been water baptized. Yep, and that's the next thing that we're supposed to do. But then the word says, wait and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Does it say spend 15 years of your life praying and trying to decide if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? No. Now I'm going to tell you that there are many things in here that I don't always understand with my mind. I do not understand how Noah got all of those animals on the ark. I do not understand that Moses stood in front of a burning bush and it did not burn up. I do not understand that Lazarus was dead in the grave for 3 days and Jesus raised him from the dead. But I believe it. I do not understand everything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But what I do understand is that you are to receive a gift that will give you power. So I have the Holy Spirit, I'm saved, and then there is an experience where the Holy Spirit comes on me. So Holy Spirit in me, completely, Holy Spirit on me. And there's a time where I say, Lord, would you baptize me in the Holy Spirit? And he does. And then it happens again and again, because there's times when you're in worship like tonight and all of a sudden you feel the joy of the Lord and you just want to dance. The Holy Spirit is on you. There are times when you're in a restaurant, you look across and you say, I need to go and pray for that person. And you get goosebumps and you're like, ooh, my heart's going to beat out of my chest. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So what I'm telling you is you've all experienced it. It's not anything to be afraid of. It is when God says, I see you, I've called you, I've given you authority, I'm on the inside of you, and believe me, sister, I'm giving you some power. Yeah. Why would anyone not want to receive that? But the way that I was brought up, we were scared of it. And so all of my growing up life, I loved Jesus, I knew I had him in my heart, and I wanted to be good. But for the life of me, I could not. Because what I lacked was power. And it didn't matter how hard I tried, I did not have power to stand against the enemy. And I did not have the power to defeat the giants that were in my life. And so I struggled. And I loved Jesus, and I repented all the time, and I was scared to death, and I was shy, and I made compromises, and I made friends that weren't good for me because I wanted to fit in, and I dated people that I shouldn't have dated, and I had sex before I got married, and I drank, and I fought with my parents, and my life was a complete wreck, and I was a Christian, and I had the Holy Spirit inside, and I had been baptized, and I wanted to be good, and I had no power to do it. Because we were afraid to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." And I just want to remind you, nowhere are we saying things like, "I want you to listen. I want you to go home and think this over. Let me know what you think." Obedience is a big thing with the Lord. And when you know Him, you've been saved, you're in His presence, He says, be water baptized, and we do it. Right. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do that tonight. First Samuel. I want to talk a little bit about David, and then we're going to get to this. David is one of my favorites. You'll remember that Saul was the first king of Israel. Samuel was the prophet. And back in that day, God talked to prophets pretty much only. So Samuel's the one that hears the voice of God and he reports it to everybody else. Saul's the king. And one day God says to Samuel, Saul's time is done. It's time to anoint a new king. I want you to go to Bethlehem. I want you to talk to Jesse, it's one of his sons, and you're going to anoint for me a new king. And so Samuel goes to Bethlehem, and this is where we're going to pick up. This is chapter 16, verse 6. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before me. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Boy, doesn't that sound like what Austin talked about last night. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel, but Samuel said, the Lord's not chosen this one either. And then Jesse had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse had all seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he said, are these all the sons that you have? Well, there is still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he's tending a sheep. Samuel said, go get him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent, and he had him brought in, and he was ruddy with a fine appearance, and he was handsome. And the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of God came upon David in power. The Spirit of God. Have you ever felt like that you were the one that was overlooked? I mean, this is his dad. The prophet comes to town. One of your sons is the next king. His dad gets all the other brothers, but David. And David is young, but David is the one. And what I want you to think about tonight is, you are the one. There is a plan for you, and you haven't been overlooked. So after David is anointed king, what does he do next? He goes back to take care of the sheep. And you know what he's doing when he's taking care of the sheep? He's spending time in the presence of the Lord. So David goes back to spending time with the Lord and taking care of the sheep, and his brothers go to fight. And this you all know, but there was a giant named Goliath. And the Philistines had set up on one side and the Israelites on the other side. And here is Goliath. He's a 9-foot-tall giant. And the Bible says that for 40 days he came out every morning and every night, and he defied God and he spoke mockingly against the Israelites. Well, one day, little brother David, who's really got nothing going for him except that the Spirit of God is on him and he has power. He goes to take his brother some food, and when he arrives, he hears Goliath saying horrible things about God and about the Israelites, and he says, "Hey, who is this guy that we're letting him talk like this? What are we thinking? He is talking about God." Well, so David decides that he's going to take care of it. And I want to read to you out of chapter 17, verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to go against that Philistine. You're only a boy, and he's been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from a flock, I went after it. I struck it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." David was young. He was a boy. But he was a boy with power. So what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to read you just one more chapter. This is in Acts 19, 1 through 7. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and he arrived in Ephesus. And there he found some disciples. Okay, they're disciples. That means they believe in Jesus, right? They're saved. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No. We've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "What baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, and he told the people to believe in the one coming after him." That's Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Paul placed his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. And there were about 12 men. So Paul comes up to these people, these men, and they have made a profession of faith, and they believe in Jesus. And he says, "Hey, when you got saved, did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" They say, "We don't even know what that means." And he says, "Well, you were baptized in water. That's great. That represents your repentance. And now I'm going to lay hands on you. You're going to receive the baptism of the Spirit. You're going to get power." And they spoke in other tongues. Simple. Simple. So when you accept Jesus and you make a decision to get water baptized, all it takes is an act of your obedience. You just say, "I've accepted Jesus. I want to be baptized." There is absolutely nothing different to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's simply saying, "Maybe I don't understand everything about this, but if this is a gift from you, I want to receive it. So Lord, would you give me the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" That's what I want you to do tonight, because like I said, you have some giants in your life. And there are times when, even though I'm a believer, I go to church, I try really, really hard. I know that Jesus has given me authority and he's even told me what to do. Go and teach people about me. And sometimes I just don't know how to do it. And so I go to the Lord and I say, "Lord, I need more of you." I still have the Holy Spirit in me. There are times that I need the Holy Spirit on me. Because I promise you, You need power. Because the giants that you're trying to overcome is feeling completely alone in the world. It's feeling like you don't have a friend one when you step into school this August. It's feeling like you don't know which direction the Lord's calling you to, and you sure don't feel like you can accomplish anything great. It's learning how to stand up against your friends because you show up at the party because you don't want to be left out, and everybody's smoking pot or everybody's getting drunk, and then here I am in this new moment of not knowing how to be who I know I am called to be. Can I tell you that giant slayers are often made in a quiet, lonely place? And there are plenty of giants that need slaying. And you're just the one for the job. But you're going to need the Holy Spirit to come on you.
That's good.
And so I want you to bow your heads. I'm going to say a prayer for you, because what I'm asking is that the Lord would just speak to you. Lord, we give you this moment. We give you this time. We're thankful, God, that you give us such good gifts, and that you have not only given us authority, you've not only saved us from our sins, you've not only invited us into your presence, but you say, God, that you will give us power so that we can begin to slay the giants in our life and be who you've called us to be. So that we can't just look at other people, God, and say, gosh, I wish I could be like them, but so we can learn to be on the team, to make an impact, to take a stand for a good God that we love so much, but we're going to need some power. And so what I want you to know, guys, is that the first step, you must become in relationship with God. You have to move back into his presence. And what the word says is that we have all sinned. Everyone in this room, me, Austin, all of your leaders, and every single one of you have sinned, and we have been separated from the presence of God. And we've got to make that right, number one. And the way that we do that is to simply say, God, would you forgive me for my sins? Would you come in? Would you give me authority? Would you give me your Holy Spirit? Would you change me, Lord? Would you live on the inside of me? And I know some of you made that decision last night, but before we move to the next step, we got to nail this one down. And so if you know right now, because the Holy Spirit is convicting you, that you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior with nobody looking and everybody's head bowed, I just want you to raise your hand. I need to be moved into the presence of God. I need you in my life, Lord. So if you are that person and you need to receive Jesus and the Holy Spirit right now, I'm going to say a prayer and you're going to repeat it after me. Everyone in the room, repeat this prayer. Lord, thank you for saving me. I ask you, God, that you would forgive me for my sins. Those that I knew I committed and those I didn't. And would you come in and fill me completely? And change me, Lord. Thank you for saving me. And thank you for giving me authority. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now I want you to keep your head bowed. And if you accepted Jesus and he's on the inside of you, you are now qualified to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a gift that the Lord wants to give to you. And he says, when you receive it, you will receive power to be who I have called you to be, to stand against the temptations of this culture, to stand against an evil enemy, and to face the giants in your land. You may have received the baptism before. You can receive it many, many times because it is simply the presence of God on you. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe this is the very first time, and I'm telling you that there is nothing about God that is scary. But it will change you. And so if you are interested in receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I simply want you to come up. I want you to approach one of these leaders around the room, and I want you to say, "I surrender completely." And I want you to know, last night I was here and I watched when every one of you in this room said, "I will go all in this week with the Lord." And I do not want you to allow the enemy to steal this from you. So if you want to take the next step and you want to experience a new and fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to get up right now and come up front. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus for power that is released when we simply obey and submit. And God, in Jesus' name, what my Bible says is that simply we lay hands on one another and we say, if you know Jesus, do you know Jesus? You've accepted him as your Savior? Then Lord, I thank you that in the name of Jesus, you baptize my brother in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that he will walk in power in Jesus' name. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior and you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I thank you, Lord, for baptizing my sister right now in the name of Jesus. She will never be the same. She will be different and she will make an impact for the kingdom. Thank you for power that we cannot understand. Lord, I thank you that all across this room that you are giving us an intense, new, individual outpouring of the Spirit of the living God. Lord, we receive in Jesus' name every gifting that you give to us. And God, I ask for powerful displays of the Holy Spirit in our life. God, I thank you for evangelists in this room, Lord. We release the spirit of evangelism. I thank you that there are healing hands, Lord. I thank you that there are people in this room that are called to impart miraculous healing deliverance in Jesus' name to our community. I thank you, God, that this generation of kids right here in the panhandle of Texas goes back to school this year and turns things upside down. Thank you, Lord, for baptizing us in your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we are listening for you, God. We will stand and we will declare the goodness of the Lord, God, wherever you plant our feet. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we just ask that you would continue to minister. If you have received the baptism and you are in your seat, I want you to begin to just hold your hand out and pray for your brothers and sisters. And I want you to thank the Lord for what he's doing in this room tonight.